Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out, and I hope we can have a great time this evening getting through this plan. We've been praying about this and talking about this for a long time. I believe that if we put ourselves in God's hand, God will lead us through this. And it's a long-term plan. This can turn out to be a five-year plan. But we want to talk about it and see how this goes well. We've hushed it and talked through it with the elders many times over. And so we've come to this point where we feel like it was necessary to make sure that you understood what we were trying to do, all of us together. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this evening that we gather here to plan together, Father. But most importantly, to trust that God, when we plan, you will determine our steps, oh Father. Help us to entrust ourselves to you and not to be afraid of anything, Almighty God. But to know that if we plan, you guide us, and it's up to us to just get into the Word, be connected with you and with one another. And what you can do is amazing when we believe, Almighty God. It's the name of Christ we pray and believe. Amen. 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 So we have here a long-term plan with us, and as you can see, okay, let me just, this is a long-term vision. So it says in Proverbs 29:18, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Something happens to us when we begin to attend to what God is doing in our lives. But if we don't do that, we go backwards spiritually. We begin to struggle. We don't experience God. And if we are not careful, the devil uses that to muffle our faith, to basically destroy any hope we have, and we lose that. And that's why it says here in NSB version, it says, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. If we keep in step with God and ask God to lead us, we'll find that we're very happy. But if that's not there, you find that you start getting into unnecessary sins that come to you because you're not focused. You're not clear what God is calling you to do in his kingdom and how you can serve and how you can just touch other people's lives. So with this vision, we hope that we can start to create a plan around that and move forward. Today we'll share with the brothers, and I have some part and they will do some part. So let me just get on with it. We need to identify our current station. You know, the church is not the building, but all of us, right? The church is all of us. It's not the building. Does that make sense? And some of us may be in a survival mode. Or if you're in a survival mode, you need to know that so that we can start walking towards going the right direction. Does that make sense? You can be a stable church, but let me just explain it this way. The survival church is dying. It's not growing. You follow that? It's not growing. The stable church, it's strong on discipline, but very little on love and growth. Does that make sense? It's very strong on discipline, but very little on love and growth. Successful church is, stuff is happening, but it's all about people, and we get competitive. And that can create inbreeding. And that's like inbreeding competitive, like Acts chapter 8, when you see Simon saying, can I have the same power to perform miracles as well? So we don't want to build a church like that. We want to build a significant church, a church that is focused on God and not individuals. Does that make sense? So as the elders and the staff and everybody else involved in leadership, we're just vessels, servants serving God's people. That's our goal. We want to really give ourselves into that. And as we give that, we hope you can have the same attitude, same mindset, serving and giving yourself to God. So as you do that, you'll find that you get purpose and direction and destiny comes to you. Does that make sense? But if you hold back, it's purposeless. It's just another routine and you get very tired of it and empty. Does that make sense? So that's why it's important to understand where you stand and move towards significance. That's where we want to go. So survival churches is dysfunction. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let me just read that to explain what I mean by dysfunction. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Anybody ready to read for me?
Verse
Okay, I'll take it. Seems like everyone's afraid to read. I'll take it. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 simply says, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I'm told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. And it goes on and on, and the sins are listed. Plenty. Oh, yeah, that's what I needed. Plenty. Now I see everything. I was blind, but now I see. I had to make out what I was reading there. Anyway, the point is that church is survivor because all kind of sins come in. You follow that? What you have to understand, if we don't grow spiritually, if we don't connect with God, sin comes in one at a time and it begins to dominate us very quietly. And even though we come to church, sin begins to dominate us as Christians. You follow that? So you don't want to be in that area. That's why we have to work on this. The second church is a stable church, tends to be strong on authority and low on love and God's grace. We need both. We need love and grace. Now, in this room, we have two people. There are people that are very strong with structure. You understand that? You may be very structure-based, right? In other words, you're a truth person. And there's some of us who prefer a lot of grace. We need both. We cannot have one only. We need both for a healthy church to function. Understand that, so we'll all have to move a little bit. Galatians 1, verse 6. All right. Here we go. Galatians 1, verse 6. It says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. But it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. In this one, it's just to understand that if we become legalistic, we'll turn the new plan into a checking list. We don't want to go there. We want to have a relationship with God. We're not just checking a list. Okay, we've done this, we've done that. It's about how connected are we with God. It's about how connected are we in what we're trying to do with God. If we don't understand that, what will happen is we'll just keep moving from one thing to another and says, okay, we've done that, we've done that. It's not what we've done. It's rather connecting with God and allowing God to imbue himself in us and reveal to us what we need to be doing in his kingdom. Amen? When you live like that, it's purposeful, it's inspiring, it's encouraging. But when it's just ticking lists, then that is not going to help you. So that's why in Galatians 6, we want both love and truth. It's not just about shaming and guilting. It's helping people to come around because they're connected to God. And successful church is high on results and personalities and breeds competitiveness. We have to be careful that when we lay a vision like this, it doesn't turn out to be a personal thing. Something that is about me or is about you. It needs to be about God. It needs to be about God, because if you don't do that, we fight over a turf, we fight over who controls what. It doesn't help. What we need to do is to focus on how God can walk with all of us and focus on what God's will is in my life and in your life. Does that make sense? So to avoid that is Acts chapter 8:18, and you see an example of that where things just go really south when people don't focus on God. Are you there? Okay, here's what it reads. It says there in verse 18 that when Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. So Simon realized, if I want to do exactly what these guys are doing, what I need is that power. I'm going to try and bribe. It's an old story of bribery, right? He tried to bribe his way into being part of the team. You don't want that to happen. You want that to be something that God has called you to. Not because this is the place where I feel most prominent, but rather, I feel that God calls me to serve in this place. You follow that? And we can walk, and we'll make sure that that walks well so that that doesn't get in the way of us moving forward. Significant church is about giving glory to God, and this is where we all want to go. Let's look at this. So all these other ones, we don't want to stay over there. But let's go to John 13, John 13, 34 to 35. Okay, John 13, 34 to 35, it says, "So now I'm giving you a new command. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." This is huge. It's how we treat one another that makes the world see that this is a different place to be. This is significant church does not come about just because you're baptizing. And we need to do that. We need to do all the things that the Bible tells us to do. But this is huge. And the way you treat people is very much connected to your relationship with God. Amen. The way you connect with God will show with the way you treat people. So you cannot separate those two. If you cannot love the God you don't see, you'll have challenges loving people that you see. So it's very much connected. So understand that and understand why we must build a significant church. And we have to be purposeful because we're not built like that. We think of about ourselves, but we must learn to allow Christ to transform us to be different so that it moves in the right direction, which is basically just giving our best to God as we allow him to change who we are inside. So I think at this point, all I have... Mike, I'll continue with that.
Thank you, Steve. How's everybody? Are we getting excited about this?
Sorry, I never got a chance to call you back.
What am I doing? Okay, so this is a great segue into this next slide. Well... Okay, we're going to get there. So this is a great segue into the next slide. You know, there's a starting point for everything in life. There's a starting point. So, you know, when I think about this, I think about Acts 2:42. And we all know this from just reading it throughout the years about all the believers, Acts 2:42, all the believers were together and had everything in common. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, and to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so this is the starting point to a transformational church. It happened in the first century. It could happen in 2016 right here in Gwinnett. Amen. Do we believe that? Yes. And it all starts with your relationship with God, a transformational relationship with God. In Acts 2:38, you know, Peter preached and the people said, "Hey, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." And they were cut to the heart. The transformation took place at that point. And it goes on to talk about how they met in the temple courts every day. They had everything in common, and they shared everything. That's the start of a transformational church. And so once your relationship with God gets transformed, it moves into a healthy one another relationship. It starts with your spouse, okay, in the home. Then it starts with your children, and then it just spreads amongst the congregation. And it's obvious to everyone that sees your family, that sees your marriage, that, hey, something is going on here, and I like what I see. And then once the healthy one another relationships occur, we start having healthy, functional family groups where we just get together because we love getting together. It's not duty. It's not, man, I got to meet with the family group. You want to be with the family group. You want to spend time. You want to have some conversation. And once that occurs, we get there, there starts to be healthy growth in the church. Because if you notice, Steve McKinney has really not talked a lot about baptisms. The goal is for all of us to get to heaven and to have an incredible relationship with God. And that's going to bring the fruit. That's going to bring and attract people from the outside that see something different about our lives. Amen? Let's see. And so this slide right here just wraps it up. As individuals, we have to continue to long to be with God. Every day, crying out to God, pouring our hearts out to God, letting him know our fears, our frustrations, and just talking to him like we've never done before. And then with these geographical family groups that we're talking about, there's going to be clear direction on what that looks like in the way of being a family group leader in this family group and having a healthy mix of membership, having some young marrieds, having some prime timers, having some singles, just mix it all up so that, because when I was first converted, that's what I walked into. I walked into some marriage, some singles, and it was a wonderful, wonderful group, and God enabled me to see him through that group. And then once we get those family groups going, you know, we want to have, you know, a healthy working staff and elder relationship. And church, we have been working on that. I can attest to that. I love working with these men and women on staff for the last few months. It's been incredible. It's been an incredible time. And with just having clear structure on what the church looks like and being based on, as Steve said, being based on love for God and for one another. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm left-handed, so I'm going to hang out over on this side. But okay, before I move to the next slide, what does geographic family groups mean? What that means is we want to move to a model where your family group is near you. And so that we're talking about, if you're in Lilburn, your family group's going to be in Lilburn. If you're in Lawrenceville, your family group's going to be in Lawrenceville. Snellville, and so on. So you're going to be close to your family group physically, which will make it easier for you to be close to your family group spiritually. So that's what we're talking about, and that's a change. So instead of having a prime timer family group spread across half the universe, We're going to have family groups that are close by, hopefully where most of us will live 10 minutes from everybody in our family group. There'll be exceptions to that, but that's kind of the goal. That's the model. And we want family groups to be much smaller. Okay? Our goal is less than 10, 10 or less. Okay? And that's, again, a difference. Our average family group today is what, 20? I don't know. On there, it's like herding cats. There's no way they can't all fit in somebody's house. But our goal is to have a family group, a group that could meet in a house like a family. Okay? Amen. So that's what we're talking about. Okay. Now, if we do that, you will be closer to your family group. And then what we will do, as depicted by this chart, I'm going to go through it, is we will organize the church into three ministries geographically, each one under an elder couple. Okay, so just I'm going to go back through it, but real quick, the Rouses are going to lead a group that's mostly centered on Lawrenceville. The Rowells will lead a group that's mostly centered on Snellville and Loganville, and the Colliers would oversee a group that's mostly centered on Lilburn. And so that's the big picture plan. And we're going to reorganize our family groups along these lines. Smaller, closer to where you live, and then connected to an elder couple that's also close to where you live. And so it will be much easier. A family group meeting now is on a 30-minute drive there and a 30-minute drive back. Getting together as a family group means you just drive down the street to somebody who lives near you. And it becomes much easier. Becomes much easier for members. It becomes much easier for family group leaders. And it becomes much easier for us elders to oversee if we're not overseeing folks all spread all over the church, all over Gwinnett County. Okay, so going back through it for a minute. Generally speaking, the Rouses are going to lead family groups that are centered in Lawrenceville. So if your address is Lawrenceville, you're probably going to be in their group. There'll be some exceptions I'll mention in a minute. So basically, east of Pleasant Hill, okay, Lawrenceville and on out. Lawrenceville and east of there. So as it includes Decula, Suwannee, Buford. So Lawrenceville and parts east. That's the Rouse's area of responsibility. And we're going to also keep the Hispanics with them. Okay, we're going to keep the Hispanic family group together, or maybe we'll form two family groups out of it. But the Hispanic group will also stay with the Rouses, even if they're not literally in that geographic area. Okay, if you live in those areas, on Sunday, May 29th, right after church in this room, there will be a meeting. It won't be a long meeting, but it'll be a meeting in which we will roll out, or the Rouses will roll out what the family groups look like in their area. Okay, and then there'll be an opportunity to think about that and respond, but that will be the rollout date for that group. Okay, now moving down to number two, the Rowells. They, as I said, will have be responsible for family groups in the Snellville, Loganville area generally. Generally speaking, south of 78, sort of going on, you know, south of 78 from Stone Mountain all the way out to Loganville. That's kind of their area. The line gets fuzzy in my mind between them and the Rouses, and we work it all out. But generally speaking, that's what we're talking about. So if you live in those areas and the campus ministry, we're going to move from the Colliers to the Rowells, okay? So the campus ministry, wherever you are, you will be a part of that group, the Rowells group. So the campus ministry and the folks south of 78, sort of Stone Mountain, Snellville, Loganville, that group will come and meet here on Sunday, May 22nd. I'm going backwards in time. So Sunday, May 22nd, right after church, relatively quick meeting in which we will, or the Rowells will lay out the family groups for that group. Amen? Amen. I know this is clear as mud, but I'm trying to make it clearer than mud. Okay, number three are the Colliers. Okay, we are going to lead or oversee the family groups that are mostly centered in Lilburn. And this is you know, north of 78, west of Pleasant Hill, and it's going to go on up north into Duluth and Peachtree Corners. So if you live in those areas, they're going to include Tucker, Norcross, Peachtree Corners, Duluth, or Lilburn, north of 78, west of Pleasant Hill, then that's the Colliers group. We're also going to include in that the Rustic Couch Singles. You probably know who you are, okay? Like singles that regularly go to the Rustic Couch. We've used different names for them. We've called them Active Singles, Professional Singles, the group led by Ron Frazier. Okay, that group, we've resisted calling them the younger singles, although they tend to be younger. That group will be part of our ministry wherever they live. Okay, so that's an exception to the geography rule. The other singles group, the sophisticated singles, you will go with geography. Okay, so you know who you are, the sophisticated singles. I resist the word older, but you know who you are. You will go with geography, so you go with where you live on what I'm laying out here. Does that make sense? Hopefully that does. Okay. And then we also have a group which was formed originally as the Young Marrieds with No Kids. That group now is actually the Young Marrieds with 1.5 kids. That group will also, regardless of geography, be assigned to the Colliers. So y'all are assigned to the Colliers. So those groups, the Greater Lilburn area, the Rustic Couch Singles, Young Marrieds with 1.5 kids, y'all will be meeting with us after church on Sunday, May 15th. So that's the soonest one coming up. So come here Sunday, May 15th, and we'll have a relatively quick meeting to lay out the family groups there. Amen? Amen. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Says verse 8, but we'll start in verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously, and if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Our goal is to inspire men and women to serve in God's church, and to use our gifts so that we can serve in God's church. And that happens, as we've been saying over and over again, when we connect with God and then when we connect with each other. And that's the goal here, is to make it easier for us to connect with God and connect with each other, to really have meaningful relationships and to have meaningful small groups that really work, that really function, rather than, you know, struggling to function because of their size and their geography. So that's our goal, to create synergized family groups that really accomplish the function we want them to accomplish spiritually. We will still have other auxiliary ministries, okay? So there are other things, obviously, that still go on in the church. So we're going to still have Kingdom Kids, obviously, and we'll still have people serving in Kingdom Kids and leading Kingdom Kids. So that's obviously going to go on. We're still going to have a teen ministry. We have a youth and family ministry. That's still going to go on. We're still going to have middle school, things for our middle schoolers. We're still going to have a worship team. We're still going to have an AV and sound team, okay? It has to happen. And then we're going to have training and workshops, which will be a big focus for midweeks, to meet other needs that we have. Because obviously if you're a family group of eight people, you know, you can't meet every need in a family group of eight people. But we will do some of that at midweeks, teaching on parenting or marriage or, you know, finances or dating or, you know, the needs that we have, we will try to address those in workshops on midweeks. So that is the plan. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to check the time, and then I'm going to put this clock back in my pocket, so just in case you thought that meant anything. There's a preacher joke about that, but I won't tell it. So, let's see if I can get a slide to come up. Okay, so on this slide, I'm going to be talking about this slide for a few minutes. Basically, it's got three columns. The first one has to do with some instructions from God. The second one has to do with an example of somebody who followed those instructions. And the third one has to do with kind of the benefits of having done that. So let me just start out here by asking you kind of a rhetorical question. Do you want to be happy? You want to be happy as a Christian? You want to be joyful? You want to be successful and feel like, yes, I am what God made me to be? Okay? Well, let's go to the scriptures, and it's going to be really quick. Let's look at some scriptures that tell us exactly that. Okay? And this first passage in John chapter 15 is a passage that Steve McKinney spoke about this past Sunday. It's just rich passage with a lot to say about how to go about that. In fact, in verse 11, he comes to the point. He says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." So he's telling us this so that we can have that joy we want, right? So let's zero in and see, what is he telling us here? How do we have this joyful church, this successful Christian life, this great example to the world around us, and just basically becoming the body of Christ in a healthy, significant church? Okay, he says I'll start in verse 4. He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love." Again, staying in Jesus, staying in God. "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." So what are the keys he's just talked about there? He says, remain in the vine. You can't be a successful Christian without being connected to the vine. Okay? And the biggest part of that is remain in Jesus. This goes back to what Mike was talking about, where it all originates with our relationship with God, right? You got to stay in the Bible. You got to pray. You got to have a walk with God where you're building a relationship. You're close to God. That's the goal. That's where we're trying to get to, where we're a church where everybody is walking with God, and we have that kind of relationship. So, you know, we have to remain in him. And he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So we want to remain in him. We need to obey his commands. But I think in this context, he's talking especially about one particular command. And it's the one that Steve read about earlier, Steve McKinney read about earlier, is in John 13:34, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know you're my disciples if you love one another." But not just because he said it a couple of chapters earlier, he also says it in the next verse here. "My command is this." What does he say? "Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command." He says it again. Love one another. Okay, you want to remain in Christ. You want to remain in him and to have this fruit that's going to come. It's guaranteed to come if you remain in Him. Love one another. Okay? So you got to have that connection to God. You got to have that connection to one another. That's what our family groups are here to facilitate. That's why we're trying to organize them in small groups, and we're trying to fix them up to where you'll be feasible for you to be there a lot and connected and regular and loving those people and living your Christian life together so that you love one another. Because that's how Jesus loved His disciples, right? He was with them. He spent time with them. I could talk about this for a long, long time, but I don't have a long, long time. But spend some time thinking about that. But those are the instructions for how to have this great church that we were talking about, straight from the mouth of Jesus. Okay? So big deal to pay attention to. All right? But the second column here talks about, okay, an example. What does it look like when a church does that? Okay? Acts 2, starting in verse 42, says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So again, if we're that kind of church, the Lord adds to our number. Okay, that's the pattern. That's the example we have here. So, I mean, this is an authentic group of people, right? They weren't faking it. They didn't do this because somebody was watching. They didn't do this because somebody told them to do it. They were responding authentically because they appreciated the grace that had been given to them. Okay? There was a safe environment. They didn't feel like, okay, I have to watch out because if I don't act right, somebody's going to, you know. No, they were genuine. They were authentic. They were able to be that way, and it was a safe environment for them to do that. They were growing. All right, not only as individuals, but obviously their numbers. But they were growing as individuals. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were growing. They were learning. They had care and help, support from the church that they were in. So they were devoted to the right things. And, you know, if I look around this room, I think about our congregation, you know, to varying degrees, a lot of us have been doing a lot of these things, right? We've been devoted to the apostles' teaching. We love the Bible. We read it. We try to follow it. We try to make it apply in our lives. So we've been devoted to that. We've been devoted to fellowship. A lot of us are here every time the door is open. Every time, you know, we make up excuses to get together with people. You know, we invent things that nobody told us to do because we want to get together with some people and have a spiritual time. You know, there's some of us that do that. There's some of us who are devoted to the breaking of bread. You know, we'll invite somebody over to our house at the drop of the hat, and we'll sometimes be the one that drops the hat, right? So let's just find ways to have people into our homes. A lot of us do that. And then prayer. I mean, some of us get together and say, let's get together and pray. Okay? Or sometimes, you know, we get up in the morning, that's what we're going to do before we get out of our bedroom, before we get out of our house. We're going to pray. Okay? There's some of us that do those things. Okay? And for those of us who are doing those things, I have two requests of you. And I would urge you to do these two things to help us to get where we want it to as a congregation. Number one, do so more and more. Okay? Grow in those things. Grow in your devotion to those four things. Second thing I would ask you to do is to help somebody else to grow in those things. Those four things. Find somebody around you that you can help to grow in those four things. If you can do that, you will be doing the Lord's work. You will be fulfilling the purpose for which He put you here at this moment, in this place, in this time, and you will be able to help the church to get to be that significant church. So some of us have not been doing those things. And you know, I would like to make an appeal to those of us who maybe are not doing what we feel like, you know, we read about here in this. We wouldn't say that describes us today. I would urge you to say, let's start today. You know, today is the first day of the rest of your life. This could be the day that you decide, I'm going to be what God made me to be. I'm going to be a part. Come go with us all as we all strive to be the kind of church that God created us to be. Let's do this together. And let's have that joy that Jesus promised if we remain in Him. So I do have one other slide. Let's see. So as we do that, you know, one of the things, you know, and this was something that Steve C. mentioned earlier, we are going to have different kinds of workshops, what we call auxiliary ministries. We're going to have, it's not just the family groups that are going to make all this work. We're going to have the family groups and try to make them as sort of the the main organization of the church, but we're going to be doing things for all these different kinds of activities, all these different kinds of organizations. So, you know, we want to make sure we're taking care of all the parts of your life, you know. And, yeah, we're still going to have the deacons. They still have the various ways of benevolence. We're still going to have the, you know, Dave Ramsey, and we're still going to have, you know, the different things that we do to try to help the church to get to a stronger family, stronger marriage. But just urge you to, you know, figure out where you fit into all this, and let's do this together. Thanks.
Let me use this one.
So with the way it's looking is that, to make it simpler, we drive through family groups, right? And as we drive through that, we got all these other ministries that will develop things. So as staff members, we are paired very diversely with the elders now. And because we have many roles, so we're paired. I'm paired with Steve Coyle right now. John Young is the Youngs. The wrong direction. Are paired with the Rouse, and the Rouses are paired with the Kings. So it's very diverse in the way it's going. And so we're working with the elders in this sense, because then the staff have a hand in glove with the elders, and there's a lot of responsibility for the Kings as youth and family, running a lot of things. They are doing campus. I'm around everything, but we'll go with where the needs are for the most part. Does that make sense? So we'll try and organize this moving forward. Now, where are we? Okay, leaders' role. All leaders are culture shapers, everyone. A deacon is a culture shaper, family group leader is a culture shaper. We're all shaping a culture. Here's the deal. It's not just that we dream a dream, but it's allowing the culture of Christ to be part of us. Because the culture in the world is so strong, and it's streaming into the church. We have to find Christ's culture that allows us to focus on God's principles and God's way of living. Does that make sense? So that's why we need family groups that are close to one another. Yes, and some of them will be quite diverse because of the neighborhood. Some will not be. Don't feel guilty about that stuff. Focus on worshiping God. Amen? It's not a formula, but a walk with God that demands that we listen to His Spirit. You see, that's the key. We have to listen to God as we make this journey. You don't want to make a path that just, okay, I'm going whether God says yes or no. Listen to God as we make this journey together. Does that make sense? That's how it works well. We will have to train and keep ourselves engaged with God's will at every stage of church building. We'll start training with family group leaders. The five things we hope a family group can do is to be a place. The environment needs to be authentic, safe. You can get care, help, and growth. All these things we'll train. There's a lot of training that goes into that. That can take us a long time. But as Steve's once we launch the family groups on the dates he gave, then we'll begin the training, and we'll come up with, once we've agreed among ourselves, how best to have a rhythm that allows midweek for trainings and days for you to be in your family groups. Amen? Okay. Moving forward, before we end, it's understand that in any change you make, there must be a path, right? And here's the path. Right now, we are forming. The station we sit right now is we are forming staff. We are forming organization. We are forming the family groups. We are forming groups. We are trying to connect people. You may be put in a place and may think, maybe I'm not fitting. Feel free to talk to one of us, all right? Feel free. We're going to be willing to hear what you think so we can get you in the right place. That's all part of storming, trying to get you in the right place. Because sometimes we're storming and trying to figure out, wait, hold on. All that's part of storming. We had a meeting with the family group leaders. Now we're having a meeting with the church so that you can understand where we are going. Amen? After that, we norm. When we norm, we'll come up with regular midweeks, whether it's alternate and how we'll do that, when we do the alternate. So that is coming. And if you can shoot that towards July, not because we have to lay these things out first, right? And then after we norm, the functionalities happen. So what we do in family groups, what happens there. And as that becomes functional and attractive, because of your love for one another, people will come and stay. They will be asking, why are you so happy? I would like to go where you go on Wednesdays. It'll be different. Does that make sense? So that's what we're looking at. So that's all for today. I hope this helps you. You might not understand everything totally, but it'll come together in time. Amen.